You are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
The funny thing is that in sweepstakes today, thousands of people usually qualify. Thousands of people are residents of the U.S. and of a legal age of 18 at the time of entry. But how many people actually win? Of the thousands that qualify, only one or a handful get it. The funny thing about God's election of saints is that nobody qualifies, but lots of people get chosen. Isn't that amazing? That's what the word election means, to be chosen or selected out from a larger group, to be preferred from the group, selected, chosen from the larger group, reaching down and taking some. Perhaps you've watched Toy Story, and you're familiar with that, Daniel saying yes, and Cindy saying, yeah, anyone else seen Toy Story? I have not seen Toy Story 4. I am waiting till it hits Amazon Prime, which it actually has now, but I'm waiting for it to drop down to the regular price, not the introductory rental price. But I've seen the other three. And you know one of them, and I don't know it so well, I know which one, but there's the machine with all the aliens in it, and the claw comes down. You know, it's a very bad way because it's not very serious. But the idea of God's election is he looks at all of humankind and he selects some to be in his family. And without thinking too hard about it, that's what election is. The word eklegomai means to select some from the group to be yours. You've been chosen. That's divine election. And to those that God chooses, he gives a VIP experience. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, and us is all of us who are in every way disqualified, to be chosen of by God. And yet he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, what are these VIP privileges that we get? Well, in chapter 1, verse 5, all of these are in chapter 1, verse 5 and 11, you get a predetermined destiny. It cannot be altered. What's going to happen to you in the end is going to happen in the end, and nothing can change that. It's established. Now, you're not quite sure what's going to happen to you tomorrow and the next day and every other day of your life, but the one thing that you do know, that this roller coaster ride has a nice, safe landing, and you're going to get off in really good shape. I can't tell you about the loops and dips and the other stuff in between, but the end is good. It's been decided. Verse 5 also says that you will receive the adoption of sons with all the rights and privileges of God's royal family. God, the King of the entire universe, has chosen you to be in his family as his heir, as his son. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to win the sweepstake? Well, yes, you have. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to be in the royal family? You ever wonder about that too? What would it be like to be born into England's royal family where I don't have to do anything and I just grow up and have all kinds of stuff, whatever I want? And what would that be like? Just to have people follow me just because I was born that way. And that would be so neat. What would that be like? Do you know, it doesn't matter what that's like because that is cheesy compared to what you really have. You are actually adopted into the royal family of the God of the universe. You ever think about that? You're royalty. And you got that because of his choice. Verse 6, acceptance and high favor from God. Verse 6 says, he has made us accepted in the beloved. The word accepted means highly favored. You are highly favored. What is highly favorable about you? The more we get to know each other, the list shrinks. Oh, and you get married and you find out, I didn't know that about you. I didn't realize that. You know, God knows everything about you, and he highly favors you. God thinks very well of you. Think about this. When everybody else in life looks down on you, God favors you. He thinks highly of you. Today, it's been a rough day, right? Some of you have been so discouraged by how you behave today. Some of you are discouraged by how the people around you behaved and how they treated you. Some people are overwhelmed, not because you did badly, but because life was bad. And you think you really did a good job at it, but it feels like it wasn't worth it because life really still gave you a raw deal today. And then on top of that, maybe life was good and you were good, and yet you went outside and it just looked dark and, you know, it's fall and it's just fall. And your sports team is not playing tonight, and the one that you like lost yesterday, and they don't play for 3 more days, so you don't have that to look forward to. And wait a minute. Did you know that God favors you? Another thing, verse 7, another spiritual benefit that you have because of God's choice of you is redemption from the slavery and the abuse of sin. Sin used to be your boss and tell you what to do and run your life. And because God chose you, it doesn't. You humor it sometimes and you go back and you let it pretend like it's in charge sometimes, but that's your choice. It has no power over you, has no control. It is not your boss anymore because you've been chosen. You also receive in verse 7 forgiveness of sins. That means that God, because he has chosen you, has removed all your wrongdoings from his records. All of them have been purged. You can ask any angel in heaven, every good angel, every bad angel. You could ask even Satan himself, who is like a lawyer working overtime without sleep, to find fault with you, and he can't find fault in a record anywhere. Oh, he saw what you did today, but God says, show me the record, and there isn't a record. Put all of the intelligence agencies on your record in heaven, and that would make you nervous, right? Guess what? They're not going to find anything. You can rest easy because the records are purged. Why? Because God chose you. You're his. You also, in verses 9 through 11, get an understanding of his will. This has nothing to do with your IQ. This has nothing to do with the grades you earned in school and how just raw smart you are. This is something that God gives to everyone by his Spirit through his word. That is a greater understanding of what he's doing in the world. You can look at the world scene and see what God is working out through the church. Yes, the world is very messed up right now, but if you look at it from God's perspective, you can see that he is bringing all kinds of people together through Christ, through the gospel, to form a brand new spiritual family that is going to last forever and never be broken up. You're part of it. We're part of that at Faith Baptist Church. When we fellowship together with other churches and some events like a couples retreat, you realize it's happening other places too. We know each other. We know the differences that we bring to the table and the problems, and we're still not quite sure why God chose us. But here we are together, and we're drawing closer together, not farther apart. That is what God is doing in the world. And we get to be a part of that. Verse 10, close eternal fellowship with many other people. That's what it's talking about. That he would make in Christ one. And that group, the church that he's putting together, is never going to be busted up. It's going to last forever. And if you're in, and if you've believed on Jesus, you're going to be there forever. Well, you also get in verses 11 and 14 an inheritance in his eternal kingdom that will belong to you forever. That doesn't just mean you're going to make it into his kingdom. Get this. It means that part of that kingdom is going to belong to you. Real estate is guaranteed. How do you like that? It's guaranteed. It's already got your name on it. It's yours. Now, you get to enjoy everything else, but you also get your own part. You don't deserve it. Verse 14 brings it up again. Verse 13, you get salvation and rescue from the power of sin, the sentence of death, and punishment in the lake of fire forever. Yes, your salvation, and I filled in the blanks, the fuller study of salvation. It's your salvation and rescue is guaranteed because he chose you for that. And finally, verses 13 and 14, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who is God, and he will never leave you. I don't have time to get into all of these things, but I think you'll agree that all of these blessings are far better than any VIP experience to a World Series game. You want to go to a World Series game tonight? I'm not interested. And you know what? I have better things on the docket coming up. Why? Because I've been chosen. I didn't qualify. I didn't enter, but God picked me, and this is what I got. Actually, let me change what I just said. There was a purchase necessary, but someone else paid it. Let's fill in the cracks. The cost of your salvation was the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. It's right there. You see what it says in verse 7? In him we have redemption through his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ paid what was necessary. There's nothing left to pay. The second person of the Godhead became a human being so he could live a perfect life and die a sinner's death in your place. He did what you deserve to do but could never do. And he gave you what you could never deserve. He paid the ultimate price to obtain your freedom. Notice how frequently he appears in this passage. He is the reason why you were chosen. Because if you look at yourself alone, it's mystifying why you would be chosen. It says in verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful what? In Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, got to qualify, what? In Christ. Verse 4, God chose us, what does he have to say? In him. Adoption, verse 5, as sons, what? By Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he has made us accepted in the beloved. That's Christ. Verse 7, in him we have redemption. Verse 7 again, through his blood. Verse 10, gather together in one all things, in Christ. Verse 10, in him. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 12, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in him also you trusted. Verse 13 again, in whom also having believed you were sealed. Without Christ, you would never have been chosen by God. Without his death and resurrection on your behalf, you would never have been saved. Nor would you have believed. Everything from your entrance in to the experience of and the outcome that will happen that has to do with your salvation is because God chose you. Dear saints, God chose you. You've been selected. God selected you because he wanted to. It's that simple. The selection was made because of Christ. Also know this, the selection was made before anything started. It says in verse 4, God chose you, what? Before the foundation of the world. Not at the moment you believed on Christ. He didn't look and say, she believed, so therefore I'm going to choose. No. Before the foundation of the world, and if you study that throughout Scripture, what you find is it means creation. Before God made anything, he made a decision to choose you. What that means is that you didn't earn anything to qualify yourself to be chosen because you hadn't even been made yet. You didn't even exist. Nor had you done anything to disqualify yourself. You hadn't been made yet. You didn't exist. He chose you before he made anything. What is the other thing that was established before he made anything? According to Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 8, the other thing established before the foundations of the world is that Christ would come to die on the cross. Christ's death on the cross and your selection as a saint who's associated with Christ, those things were established before he even started. God did not make the world wondering if he'd get anything out of it. He made the world new, knowing not that he would get some out of it. He knew who he was going to get out of it because he already decided that. He chose you. Why? Because he wanted to. He wanted to. God wanted to choose you. Now, this sentence, Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14, if you study it, you find it's one big, old, long, run-on sentence. It's a very, very, very long sentence. Longer than anything else Paul had ever written, if I'm correct. It's so long. And the way it develops, it begins with a praise to God, but the main verb is in verse 4. Just as he chose us. That's the main verb. Every other verb that comes after is a subordinate, secondary, supporting verb. That's the way it's written. Everything else in this sentence comes out of the act of God choosing you. Everything. Why? Because he wanted to. Notice what it says in verse 5. Having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, on what basis? According to the good pleasure of his will. That's why. And then if you look down in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, on what basis? According to the good pleasure, his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. I heard today on the radio that scientific studies from some local university here in one of the boroughs, I forget which one, is kind of coming to the conclusion that narcissistic people have a better chance of enjoying their life than people who care for others. You say, why? Because if all you do is doggedly pay attention to feeding your own desires and you don't pay attention to anyone else, no one's going to let you down. You devote everything to your own pleasure and satisfaction and you stand a better chance of getting it. I'm going to tell you, there's probably some truth to that. But I want to turn that around and focus it on God because that's how it works. When God focuses on getting what he wants, the best things happen. Because he's God and we're not. And you know what God wants? You know what he determined in his own will to do? You know what he said, I want to do, so I'm going to do it, and no one's going to stop me? I'm going to pick you. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I want. You take a kid to Toys R Us, which doesn't exist anymore. Even worse, give them an Amazon Alexa and tell them to start talking to Amazon. You walk in Toys R Us back in the day, and you say, kid, you have $100. And they walk around, and there's a process of looking at everything. And eventually, they land in the Lego section somewhere. And they pick a set. Friends, God knows what he wants. And he has a lot of options. And I'm just going to tell you, he wants you. And he gets what he wants. No one says no to God. I mean, we do. That's a whole other discussion, and it doesn't work out so good. But when God, in a determining way, decides, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do, that's what he gets. And you can put up a stink, you can put up a fight and decide, you don't want to be a part, I'm sorry. You are going to be a part of it, because God gets what he wants. But here's the amazing thing. What does he want? He wants you. Why? That word, his good pleasure, is one word. And it means that God gets pleasure from it. You know what pleasure is. You're trying to get it all the time, right? You see, it's like this. Your salvation is not ultimately about your enjoyment. It's a little deceptive, right? Because you read this sentence, this really long sentence, and it tells us about all these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that I get. It's this long list of adoption and royal privileges and acceptance and favor and knowledge and understanding and forgiveness of sins and freedom from slavery. It's like all this good stuff. I even get an inheritance of the eternal kingdom. And it's, wow! Wait a minute. That's not what it's about. That's the side effects. It's about God getting what he wants and enjoying it. It's not just that God wants you. It's that God enjoys having you. I don't know what it is for you, but we watch a movie, right? And we set ourselves up to think, this movie, everyone's looking to Star Wars and the next, you know. You have to decide if you want to subscribe to Disney's channel to get that one, right? Because you have to subscribe to a new thing. But if you want to wait till the end of the year, you can watch this other epic Star Wars finale. I don't know what it's called. But everyone is just expecting it to be good. The couple mess-ups, but there's supposed to be a couple mess-ups. But the rest of it's supposed to be good, and we're all waiting for that because we're going to get a ride. We're going to get some pleasure out of this story, watching the story, right? Whatever it is for you, you go to a Broadway show and you chunk out the change to sit there and watch this show, or you go to a baseball game, or you go to, whatever you do. And sometimes it actually does give you pleasure and you enjoy it. And by the way, enjoy it. You're supposed to, if it's good. But if you ask God what he enjoys you. How can that be? My own parents don't seem to enjoy me too good. My own spouse, my kids don't seem to enjoy me too much. The older they get, the less they seem to enjoy me. You know what? There's one fixed constant. If you've been chosen by God, one thing you know, if no one in the world likes you anymore, God does. He gets pleasure out of you. God chose you for his own pleasure and glory, not just to be good to you. By choosing you the way he did, he draws attention to his amazing grace and unimaginable goodness. You say, why does Arm & Hammer give out a sweepstake? Why do they do this? So that everyone knows that Arm & Hammer exists. That everyone can click on Arm & Hammer's website and at least say, oh, I forgot that they were around. What do they do again? They make baking soda? And how are they connected to OxyClean? I don't know, but they're giving this away, you know? And there's studies that show that by giving away this VIP sweepstake to thousands of qualifying people, but only one gets chosen, they get glory. They get attention. And the spotlight, which was shining on Procter & Gamble, now is going to shine on them for a few weeks up until this 8/31/2019. And then it's just going to be one person that goes to this random World Series game and gets VIP treatment, but they could care less about you. They just know that there's a lot more people buying Arm & Hammer stuff now because they offered the sweepstake. You know, God does the same thing, but in a different way. He picks people who are not qualified, links them up with Christ, qualifies them, And then he pours out lavish goodness on them, undeserved, without end. Why? So that people know about him and see how good he is and how great he is and how glorious he is. But you get to enjoy it. And when you enjoy it, guess what happens? He enjoys it. Ephesians 1:2, grace to you from God. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 7, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 12, that we should be our existence and our selection by God and our salvation, our spiritual transformation is not about us and the expectation that we have to enjoy our lives, but it's to be to the praise of his glory. Verse 14, in case you didn't get it, it's all to the praise of his glory. It's not about you anyway. You just get a whole lot of amazing benefits. That's all. And enjoying them and understanding them and putting them into the practice is what gives him pleasure. To God, that's the greatest show on earth. You. And he's got front row seats every second, every minute, every day to watch what happens. Because he invested everything in you. And he wants to see everything in return. And he gets what he wants. Because he's God. Enjoy being that person. He did this with a goal in mind. And what is that goal? Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him. Holy means to be set apart from sin, set apart to service of God. Blameless is the opposite idea. It means to not be guilty of sin. It's just given there to emphasize the point. He has chosen you so that sin could have no part in you. Does God have any sin? No. And so he has chosen you to be like that, to be like him. He wants more people to be like that, not just himself. How does this play out for those who God has chosen and have believed on him? From a legal standpoint, this is already true about you. You've been forgiven of all your sins, Ephesians 1:7. We talked about that. From a future standpoint, this will be totally true about you. You'll be freed from all the vestiges and tentacles of sin, even in your mind and physical body. Verse 14. I'm really looking forward to that day. Anyone raise your hand on that? When it's all ripped out of you and you don't have to fight it anymore. That's going to be great. And it's going to happen, by the way. It's settled. It's going to happen. Don't know if I'm going to graduate when I go to school, right? I don't know what's going to happen in this life, but I do know what's going to happen. My sin is going to be gone when I die. From a present standpoint, this is becoming true of you in a practical sense, day by day, hour by hour, as you learn to live out your union with Christ and all these benefits that he's given you in fellowship with other believers. And just as you watch a Broadway show or a Super Bowl to get pleasure, God is watching this process in your life, and he's enjoying every minute of it. So put on a good show. The next time you're tempted to sin, say, what will God get out of this? What did God pay for this? Does this give God pleasure? I want to give him pleasure. I want him to enjoy what he sees in my life today because I belong to him and he chose me when I didn't deserve it. This was something he set up before he made anything, and so I want to be what he chose me to be. That's what it's all about. And as you do that, you find out that there are benefits to that. If you've believed on Christ as your Savior, then you're a saint in God's sight. What you need to know about that is God selected you because he wanted to. It's that simple. Relish in that. Your salvation is secure, not in doubt. That should give you comfort. And your spiritual transformation is his goal. And that should motivate you to live in a way, not that brings you satisfaction, but in a way that gives him greatest glory and pleasure. And if you study the rest of Ephesians, what you find out is he wants this to happen, first of all, in the church, Ephesians chapter 4. We work it out together. He likes that stage. He likes that set in the play. He likes to see when believers are working out their salvation together. That's the part he really enjoys. But there's another stage set scene that he likes to look at as well. And that one is what? Our homes. That's the set that he likes to see. He likes to see husbands treating their wives like Christ loves the church. He likes to see wives treating their husbands like he loves the vice versa. And kids honoring their parents in the Lord. And us going to our work and treating our unbelieving bosses and coworkers like Jesus. This is the whole drama of life. And in it, he wants to enjoy what he's watching as he sees himself on stage, more and more and more through you. It is a spiritual battle. That's the way the book of Ephesians ends. This is not easy. I'm going to end with this thought. Living for the pleasure and glory of God is the greatest blessing of all. And to God, it is the greatest show on earth. So give him a good one. He deserves it. And you get paid great for eternity. If you have never believed on Jesus Christ as your God and Savior, I want to tempt you to do it tonight. You say, I know about Jesus. I've thought about Jesus. I like Jesus. I believe that he's there. I want to be on his side. All of that is fine. But if you've never decisively turned from everything else, trusted in Jesus as your one and only God and Savior, then you're still on the outside looking in. If you learn to believe on him, you find out you've been chosen, you've been brought in, and all that I just said applies. Life gets exciting. Because God wants you. Really, really, really wants you.
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We are conveniently located in Corona, New York City, and are devoted to loving God and making disciples. For more resources and helpful information about our church, visit studygodsword.com. We'd also like to extend a personal invitation for you and your family to worship with us on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, followed by a luncheon and an uplifting time of interactive Bible study for teenagers and adults after that. If you have young children, they will really enjoy our exciting Bible-based children's ministry that also occurs in the afternoon session. If you have any questions about the church, or would like to learn more about how to have a personal relationship with God, please give us a call or leave some feedback at studygodsword.com. We would be thrilled to meet you in person and show you firsthand what God is doing at Faith Baptist Church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.